Mishnah of Meir ben Be'er, Achleichem Purim, Katan. If the halacha would be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we would be reading the Megillah tonight. That's the halacha. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, he's of the opinion in the Gemara and Megillah that the real Purim is in the first Adar, the one that's near Shvat. Being that ein ma'avir na ha-mitzvahs, he says, once you have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you do it right away. You shouldn't wait till the second Adar, but immediately Purim should be observed in the first. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. We do not hold that way. L'maisa, the halacha is not that way. But beruchnis, certainly spiritually, tonight is Purim. And especially, as we mentioned, that we're in this unique year, which a year like this, where you have a leap year and a Purim Meshulash in a month from now, is not going to happen for 44 years. There will not be a year like this for another 44 years. There will not be a year of Purim Meshulash for another 13 years. But the combination of a leap year, where we have a Purim Katan and a Shushan Purim Katan, and a triple Purim next month, which is actually 5 days of Purim, two this month and three next month, will not happen for another 44 years. So we really got a chaperein, as they say, because this year is not going to happen for a long time. We mentioned at the beginning of the year that the kviyas of this year will never happen again at all. A Shemitah year, a leap year, an Erev Pesach Shecholias B'Shabbos, a year where there are no double parashiyos, that will never happen again till the year 6000 and perhaps further. This will never happen again. So we are in a very, very unique year. And tonight begins this Ace Rotzain. Yeah. Tonight begins this tremendous Ace Rotzain that we're in. Purim is an Ace Rotzain. Especially that the season begins tonight. It's 30 days before the Purim Gadol, the great Purim that is coming. And we know that we have to prepare for a Yom to 30 days in advance. Normally, that preparation begins on Tu B'Shvat. This year, it begins on Purim Katan. Is one obligated to have a Suda, as it looks like we're doing here tonight? The Ramah at the end of Orach Chaim, this is the last Ramah at the end of Orach Chaim and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah ends off, Mitzvah laharbais b'mishta v'simcha k'tzas. He says you should party and eat a little, maybe. And he quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, V'toiv leiv mishta tamid. A good-hearted person is always partying. That's a pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech says. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that we are drinking every day, and Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid has many meanings, which the Gemara talks about. But the Ramah says if you have a dilemma whether you should party on Purim Katan or not, the Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid, one should. And that's how he ends off Orach Chaim. The Svarim say, it's interesting that he begins Orach Chaim with a pasuk in Tehillim, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and he ends with V'toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. These are the two Tamids, the two Tamidim, that we know that in the Beis HaMikdash they sacrificed every day two Tamidim that were called Tamidim because they were constant Karbonos that were brought every day. A Jew has to always have in mind the first Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, the first Tamid, where a Jew is constantly thinking about Hashem, which makes us serious, brings us to fear Hashem, as the Ramah talks about at the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, a person who knows that Hashem is constantly watching him, he even when he's under his covers, when he gets dressed in the morning, when he wakes up, he does so in a certain way, knowing that the Melech Malchei Hamloch HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hovering over him. And then the Ramah ends off Orach Chaim, V'toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. That seems to be a different Tamid, where we're partying, or we're having a good time. That's the Simcha that comes after the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. And the two go together. A Jew who is fulfilling always the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, he can also fulfill the Toiv Leiv Mishta Tamid. We're not worried that the Mishta that he will be involved with will Chas V'Shalom lead to Hailulus, because it's connected to the first Tamid, the Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. Purim Katan is 45 days before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Yes, time does fly, and before you know it, it will be Pesach. 45 days, which is a unit of time concerning planting and plowing, The last 45 days of the year begin tonight, just as there are 45 days from Tu Ba'av, from Chamisha Asar Ba'av until Rosh Hashanah. There are 45 days from Purim Katan, Shushan Purim Katan until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Ma Hashem Alekech HaShoyel Me'imach, Ma is Mem Hei. These are the last 45 days of the year. We get ready for the great month of Nisan, the month of Geula. And as we mentioned, the fact that we're in a leap year now, and the main day of this leap month now is tonight, tomorrow, Purim Katan, Shushan Purim Katan. A leap year is a unique experience. It's a unique year because it gives us an opportunity to accomplish what we cannot in a regular year. We have an extra month. An extra month of tshuva, an extra month where we could be mashlem, the chesara, and in fact that's the whole purpose of a leap year. We need an extra month because of the miyat hayoreach. It's interesting that there's going to be tomorrow a lunar eclipse, which a lunar eclipse is a simen ra for Klal Yisrael because we follow the moon. But if it's on Purim Katan, it has to be v'nahapechu. It has to be that it's a simen toiv. So therefore, we should not be afraid of the lunar eclipse tomorrow. The lunar eclipse tomorrow will definitely be nehepach l'toiv because it's on a Purim Katan. And we know also, we must mention it, that we're living now in precarious times. We're living in very dangerous times. We know the recent days there were threats made. There was a warning issued by the FBI and so on that Klal Yisrael should be nervous and worried and they should be careful and they go to their synagogues and so on, just like what happened by Yom HaMahim during this time when Haman tried to instill fear in the entire Klal Yisrael. And we know what it turned out to be. It turned out to be the Nes of Purim. And certainly in our time we will experience the same thing. And just as Esther and Eliyahu HaNavi in this week's Haftarah, which as we mentioned, this Haftarah that we're going to be reading this week, is only read when it's a leap year. Mm-hmm. Eliyahu is told to gather the entire Klal Yisrael and bring them to Har HaKarmel. Esther orders Mordechai to gather all the Jews, Leich Knoises Kol HaYehudim. Moshe Rabbeinu, after the Chet HaEgel, gathers all the Jewish people, Vayakel Moshe's Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael. It's the Achtus, Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahor, the unity of the entire Klal Yisrael that brings the Nes. That no matter what, even idol worshippers, even if Klal Yisrael are all idol worshippers, and the lowest sinners, as the Pasuk says, Chabur Atzavim Ephraim Hanachla, even if they're all idol worshippers, but if they're united, they're saved. And despite that Klal Yisrael fell during the time of Esther and Mordechai, that they went to the party, and Hishtachavu Letzel and B'mein Nebuchadnezzar, or there were many who were idol worshippers in the time of Eliyahu, Oivdei HaBaal, and so on, or those who worshipped the Egel, as we'll soon see in this week's parasha. As soon as Klal Yisrael unite, Leich Knoises Kol HaYehudim, the Yeshua comes. Something that's hard to imagine in our time, that Klal Yisrael can unite. There's so much division and friction between this group and that group and this. No one tolerates. We don't tolerate each other, unfortunately. But the time has come for Klal Yisrael to unite again, and this time forever, because that's what's going to bring the Yeshua in our time too. That's all that's needed is the Achdus Yisrael, as it was in those days. And being that we're in this serious time now, right before the coming of Mashiach, and as we mentioned, the Chassam Sofer and the Imre Noyam both say the same thing, that the Geula will be in a year when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, which is this year. This year, Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, and being that there won't be a year like this for another 13 years, it's certainly a time that we should cry out, beseech Hashem, and do what's necessary, that this should be the year, Toshin Samaches, year that ends with a ches. All major events in history that happened to Klal Yisrael happened in a year that ends with a ches. Like the year the Eden left Mitzrayim, the year we received the Torah, the year we went into Eretz Yisrael, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash first and second, Churban as well. And being that we're in this special year now, okay, so starting tonight,
the Medina also was a ches.
And the birth of Avram.
Right. Also 1948.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And being that tonight begins the tremendous Eis Ratzon of Purim, Purim Katan, leading to the main Purim, the Purim Meshulash, the triple Purim that we have this year, We'll try to mention in the limited time that we have that why this Purim is so great, the fact that it's a triple Purim in Yerushalayim, in the Ir HaMukefes Chaim, and we're all connected to Yerushalayim, which leads us to the Erev Pesach Shecholiyos B'Shabbos, because Erev Pesach can only fall out on Shabbos, as it does this year, in a year when there's this Purim Meshulash. But that doesn't mean it has to be a leap year. This year we're zeiche, we're privileged to have this extra month as well. As we mentioned in the previous weeks, we had the 8 weeks of Shoivavim Tat. That's behind us. And now we come to Parshas Kisisa. So one would imagine that after going through all the Tikkunim, after going through a Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, a Sukkot, a Chanukah, and then a Shoivavim Tat, that we reach the Parshas Kisisa, we're on the highest level possible. Yet, in this Parsha, Klal Yisrael fall to the lowest depths. The Chet HaEgel, which is the root of all sin, from then on till the end of time, all Chatoyim and all Einchim, as the Pasuk says, that whenever Hashem punishes Klal Yisrael, the Holocaust, anytime there was a suicide bombing, there's always Chet HaEgel involved. Anytime there's Peronius to Klal Yisrael. So how is it that after such a lofty 8 weeks, and we've all worked on ourselves to some degree, we come to Parshas Kisisa and we learn now about the greatest downfall in history of the Jewish people? One would expect that there would only be Aliyah in this week's Parsha. In fact, the name of the Parsha is Kisisa, which, besides the literal understanding of Kisisa, which means to accept account, Kisisa also means to lift up. It's a Parsha of uplifting. How is this a Parsha of uplifting when most of this Parsha talks about the great downfall of the Jewish people at the Chet HaEgel? When we look into the Parsha the right way, the Parsha is a very uplifting one. And the Parsha teaches us that sometimes when we find ourselves on a very high level, it's very easy to fall. Klal Yisrael was on the highest level humanly possible moments before Chet HaEgel. Had they waited, had they had the patience to wait till Moshe Rabbeinu came down, they would have received the first Luchos. They never would have sinned again. They would have been the Olam HaTikun. We would have gone into Eretz Yisrael with Moshe Rabbeinu, who would have been Mashiach. Moshe is the Neshama of Mashiach. However, that's not what happened. And what happened was the Yerida, which causes later that Moshe Rabbeinu has to pass away from this world, and which causes later that there's a Churban Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Sheni, and the Golos that we're in until this moment is all because of Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel is sort of the continuation of the Chet Eitz Hadas. By the Eitz Hadas, they wanted knowledge. They wanted to know. That's why it was called the Tree of Knowledge. And when Moshe Rabbeinu fails to return, and according to their calculations, the 40th day is up, the phrase that they say is Lo Yodanu Mehoyola. We don't know what became of him. Who says you have to know? They felt they have to know. If we don't know where he is, then that means he's not coming. Forget it. That's it. It's over. There's no hope. We're never going to see Moshe Rabbeinu again. Just as Haman utilizes Zayin Adar, the day that Moshe Rabbeinu passes away, which Moshe Rabbeinu is nifter only because of the story here with the Chet HaEgel. Moshe Rabbeinu asks that his name be erased, which besides erasure, it means that he should leave this world. If Hashem does not forgive Klal Yisrael for Chet HaEgel, and even though Hashem does somewhat, but we know that when a Chacham curses even himself on a condition, if that condition is not met, the Klala is Chal. And as we said last week, that's why it doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu's name in Parashas Tetzaveh, which is always the Shabbos in which Zayin Adar falls out. Moshe Rabbeinu leaving this world, Moshe Rabbeinu not being here on Zayin Adar is what causes Haman to rejoice, what causes Haman to believe that the month of Adar is the month in which he will succeed in annihilating the Jewish people. If there's no Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no hope. Here, Klal Yisrael are led to worship an Egel, which at the beginning it wasn't idol worship. Their original intention was not to worship a golden calf. They weren't that foolish. They believed that Hashem will speak to them through that calf, just like he spoke to them through Moshe Rabbeinu. That itself, there's nothing wrong with. We find later Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael through the Kruvim in the Mishkan. That's also an image. The Kruvim were statues, but in the Mishkan it was permitted. If it would have stayed with that, they wouldn't have been idol worshippers. But it led to bowing down to the eagle, which happens first a little later on. And Aaron is hoping that by him delaying, Moshe Rabbeinu will come down, and they wouldn't have sinned yet, because they wouldn't have actually accepted it as a god, which is unfortunately what happens. And what happens at the worshipping of the eagle is that it says, the pasuk says, "Vayeshev ha'om le'echol v'shosoy." They sat down to eat and drink. They enjoyed it. Vayakumu le'tzachek. They got up to sport. Just as in the time of Ahasuerus, they went to a party, which the purpose of that party was, as Ahasuerus said, you will not have a Beis HaMikdash. The calculation of the 70 years are up, and since there's no Beis HaMikdash, Ahasuerus is not afraid to party. He's now confident that his kingdom is going to last, and he wants the Jews to be there. He wants to instill in the Jewish people yiyush, that there's not going to be a future Beis HaMikdash, there won't be any geula, there won't be any hope. And here too, Klal Yisrael miscalculate. It's very interesting, the similarity between the Chet HaEgel and the Chet of the Suda of Ahasuerus, where they're eating and rejoicing and drinking, just like they were doing here. And that whole party was a result of a miscalculation, because if Ahasuerus would have known the truth, he certainly wouldn't have been partying. It's a miscalculation, just as over here they miscalculated by one day. Had they waited one more day, this never would have happened. And in both situations, it's concerning whether there's a future. Is there a future for the Jewish people? Is there a future for Klal Yisrael? Is there a future Beis HaMikdash? What happens to Moshe Rabbeinu? If Moshe Rabbeinu is not coming back, what's going to be? And that this leads to the ego. To the point where Hashem says he's going to wipe out the entire Klal Yisrael. What day did this occur? This occurred on the 16th of the month. It was the 16th of Tammuz. The 16th of the month, that's the day when the moon begins to be concealed. The first half of the month, you know, the moon gets brighter and brighter. That's why it's brought down that if a person can, he should get married in the first half of the month. And it was the custom among all of Klal Yisrael not to make weddings in the second half of the month until recently. Now the Paiskim located. It's just, Baruch Hashem, so many people getting married, it's impossible that all the halls should only be for the first half of the month. Certain months it's allowed in the second half anyway, but it's known the second half of the month is the boundary of Esav, when the moon begins to become concealed. And that's also the Miyat HaYoreach, when Hashem miniaturizes the moon at the beginning of creation, is what, as all the Sfarim say, led to the future Chatoyim, including Chet Eitz Hadas and Chet HaEgel. So Chet HaEgel occurs on the 16th of the month, Tezayin Tammuz. Just as the 16th generation from Avraham Avinu was the generation in which the kingdom split, Malchus Beis David split in the 16th generation. If you count from Avraham till Shlomo HaMelech, you have 15 generations. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yehuda, Peretz, Chetz, Rein, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David, Shlomo. It was the 16th generation, the one after Shlomo HaMelech, Rechavam, where the split occurs, where Yeravim ben Nevat takes over the other 10, and Rechavim remains with Yehuda and Binyamin only. The 16th generation. Here too, the 16th was the day when the Egel was formed, when the Chet HaEgel begins, leading into the next day. The day had to do with it. The fact that it was the 16th, that's when the Satan had power, because that's the part of the month that is associated with Esav. As Rashi says, Aaron saw that the Satan was matzliach, the Satan was successful. The eagle came out of the fire alive. It was an illusion. It looked alive. And they thought that it was Hashem's doing. They didn't realize that it was a Maisa Satan. Until Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, and as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and they realize that they made a mistake, they realize that the whole thing retroactive was a mistake in the beginning. And Moshe Rabbeinu beseeches Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu begs Hashem that he not wipe out Klal Yisrael, that he give Klal Yisrael another chance, and that Klal Yisrael should be able to do tshuva. And as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Lo hayu ru'uyin Yisrael la'osei ma'asa, Klal Yisrael were not really holding by worshipping a golden calf. Ella lo hayrois tshuva la'rabim, says the Gemara. The Gemara says that this whole story happened so that A person can learn from this that no matter what, it's possible to do tshuva. And even a rabbin, even a multitude that strayed as they did then can also do tshuva and can return. As we read at the beginning of the parasha, when we talk about the Machzis HaShekel, Parashas Ki Siso, although most of it is about the Chet HaEgel, begins with six topics, six different mitzvahs. The mitzvah of Machzis HaShekel, the kiyar, the water basin that was used to wash the hands and the feet of the Kohanim when they entered the Mishkan, the Besamim, the Ketores, Shabbos, Asiyas HaMishkan, all a result of Chet HaEgel. If not for Chet HaEgel, there would have been no need for a Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel was to bring about a kapara, lechaper al nafshei seichem. What kapara? If there's no Chet, there's no need for kapara. Ze yitenu kol ha'oiver al ha'pekudim. This is what they shall give anyone who passes by to be counted. The Yerushalmi says kol ha'oiver al ha'pekudim means anyone who is oiver, whoever transgressed. Those who were over on the Torah, those who violated the Torah and its mitzvahs, have a chance to receive a kapara by the Machzis HaShekel. In fact, the Yerushalmi says, why a half a shekel? Because the egel was made when the sun reached the midpoint of the sky, half a day, Chatzos, Boshesh, Vayaram ki Boshesh, Moshe, Boshesh, when the sixth hour arrived, which is midday, high noon, Machzis HaYom, that's when they decided to make an egel. So we have the Machzis HaShekel, which brings a kapara, which the whole purpose of the Machzis HaShekel was for the karbonis, which the karbonis in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash are for kapara purposes, which we only need as a result of Chet HaEgel. Which is what we have on Purim. On Purim, when we bring the Shkolim, on Purim, when we give Shkolim, the minhag is to give Shkolim. If today would have been the Tainus Esther, we would have done it today. Purim brings about the kapara for the Chet HaEgel. Before the Nes of Purim, it says they bowed to the Tzelem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, very similar to the Chet HaEgel. Nehenu misudasei shaloisei rosha, similar to the Vayeshev ha'am lechol v'shasei v'yakumu l'tzachek in this week's parsha. And here we have ze yitnu kol ha'oiver al ha'pekudim. Ze yitnu kol ha'oiver al ha'pekudim is begematria Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther has the power to bring a kapara for all those who were over, no matter what they were over. Lechaper al nafshei seichem. Lechaper al nafshei seichem is begematria haster astir, which is where the Gemara says we learn that there's going to be a Purim in the future. Esther min ha'torah minayin shenema v'anoichi haster astir. In the time of Hester Panim, there was a tremendous gilui in the time of concealment that Hashem gave us. The great Nes of Purim, Hashem's name is not mentioned once in the Megillah. And one of the reasons is because the whole Nes happened in a concealed manner. There's a deeper understanding of that, which hopefully we'll get to.
Does the concept of the Hester Panim apply to the Holocaust?
That certainly has Hester Panim. That certainly, 100%. Many say that parasha is referring to the Shoah, correct? But the Gemara derives Esther min ha'Torah minayin as the Grot interprets it. How do you know that it's possible that we can have a Nes, so we can have a Yom Tov, even in a time of Hester Panim, like in the time of Mordechai and Esther, when there was no open godliness, open miracles? That's the time of Purim. Hester Aster in the Holocaust is also true. That's a different venue. So the Pasha begins with Machzis HaShekel. The Pasha continues with the Kiyar, which is the water basin that was used to wash their hands and their feet, meaning that there's contamination, there's something which is unclean, and therefore it is required that upon entering the Mishkan we have to wash our hands and feet from the Kiyar. If not for Chet HaEgel, there would be no contamination, there would be no need for the Kiyar, and that's perhaps the reason why the Kiyar is mentioned in this week's parasha, not in the previous parashas. The Kiyar is one of the Klei HaMishkan. Why do we wait till Parashas Ki Siso to talk about the Kiyar? Why isn't the Kiyar mentioned in the previous parashas, Truma Tetzava, where we talk about the Klei HaMishkan? It's here because it's connected to Chet HaEgel. And as Rashi brings later, that Klal Yisrael had a din of a sota, of a woman who strays. The Jewish people stray from Hashem. Hashem is the husband. A sota gets to drink the water of the Kiyar. Therefore the Kiyar is mentioned here in the Parsha of Ki Siso, where Klal Yisrael had a din of a sota. The Besamim is, as we read here, Yata Kachlecha Besamim Roish Mordoror, which is the first of the Besamim that was used in the Shemana Mishcha, That's what Mordechai is hinted, as the Gemara says, Mordechai min ator minayin shenemer v'yata kach lecha mor deror. Mor deror is an ingredient that, according to the Rambam, contains in it the blood of an animal which is not kosher. But when it's mixed with these ingredients, not only does it become kosher, it becomes holy, it becomes shemen ha-mishcha, which is kodesh. V'nahapaychu, we take something which is negative and channel it in a positive direction. And the same with the ketores, which contained the 11th ingredient, which is the chelbana b'gematria haman, as the Svarim say. Even a Jew who becomes like Haman can also, together with other members of Klal Yisrael, unite with other members and become part of the ketores. As Rashi brings here, that when we have a fast, whether it's Yom Kippur, Tainus Esther, whatever fast it is, we must include the sinners of Klal Yisrael with us as members of the congregation for our fast and our prayers. That we learn out from the fact that the pasuk counts the chelbuna, this ingredient which gave off a very, very foul odor, together with all the other ingredients, and without it, this would not be ketores at all. If not for chet ha'egel, there's no chelbuna. Chelbuna is a result of chet ha'egel. Chet ha'egel brought evil into the world. The zuhama, the impurities that began with chet eitz hadas, which were removed from us when we stood by Har Sinai, returned after chet ha'egel, as the Gemara says in Shabbos. That zuhama, that contamination, is the chelbuna. But when it's mixed with the other ingredients, it becomes ketores. Or when the mor deror, which originally a derivative of the blood of a non-kosher animal, mixed with the other ingredients, becomes shemen ha-mishcha. The power of tshuva. In this parasha, we see the tremendous power of tshuva. And after tshuva and tat, when one thinks, what's there to do tshuva for anymore? We did it already. There's nothing to do. We are on the highest level possible. That's when it's possible that a person could fall. It's those that are so high that fall so low. Klal Yisrael was so high, look what happened to them on the 39th day. Yet, in the parasha here, we see that after Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu was told that Klal Yisrael can even reach greater heights than before. After Chet HaEgel, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Rei, go down. Even you have to go down. When the people sin, it affects their leaders. Moshe Rabbeinu loses his madrega because Klal Yisrael has fallen. Klal Yisrael is the body and he is the head. If the body falls, naturally the head falls with the body. But later Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Alei Mizeh, go up from here. This Moshe has to go down, then afterwards he's told to go back up. And in fact, at the end of the parasha, it says he came down with the second luchos and his face was shining, which did not happen the first time he came down. After Klal Yisrael does tshuva, and even Moshe Rabbeinu experiences an aliyah, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down on Yom Kippur, which we know Purim and Yom Kippur are connected. Purim is like Yom Kippur, it's called Kippurim, it's like Purim. He comes down and it says, V'lo yoda, he did not know that his face was shining. Moshe lo yoda ki koran or ponav, he did not know that the skin of his face had become radiant. Moshe reached the level of Lo Yoda. It was Ad Lo Yoda, which is Purim. Purim is the Yom Tov of Ad Lo Yoda, where we reach this level that's higher than comprehension, that defies logic. During the course of the conversation where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu he wants to wipe out Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu prays, and eventually Hashem answers him. Hashem says, even though I will forgive Klal Yisrael, but I'm not going to lead them anymore. I'm going to send the Malach instead. There'll be an intermediary. There's not going to be this special relationship that was originally intended that Klal Yisrael and Hashem will have, but because of Chet HaEgel, they're going to have an intermediary. Moshe Rabbeinu says no. Hashem Geizer V'Tzadik Mevatel. Moshe Rabbeinu says, we're not interested. Im ein panecha hoilchim al ta'aleinu mizeh. If you don't go with us, if you don't lead us, we don't want it. A person like, when we have someone like the caliber of Moshe Rabbeinu who can intercede on our behalf, which that we don't have today. But the pasuk says that Hashem's answer to him was, "Vayoymar, pona yelechu v'hanichosilach, my face shall go, my presence, and I'm going to provide you rest," which as Rashi says it means, "Loy eshlach oid, I will not send the malach, ani ba'atzmi elech, I will go myself," says Hashem. This is right after Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael is zoicha to be reinstated. And that Hashem says he will lead us again, as long as Moshe Rabbeinu was alive, and first later in the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, does he send the Malach. This level, where Hashem himself leads us, without a Malach, without any intermediaries, but Hashem himself judges us, and Hashem himself takes care of us, was revealed on Purim. That's Purim. Especially when it's a triple Purim. V'ayoyimah pana yelechu v'hanichoysi loch is begamatria Purim three times. Purim, Purim, Purim. A Purim like this, which is the greatest Purim, a Purim that goes into the 16th of the month, just as Chet HaEgel was on the 16th of Tammuz, when you have a Purim Mishulish in Yerushalayim, the Suda they eat on the 16th, all the other years there's no such thing. In fact, the Gemara says that we are not allowed to read the Megillah on the 16th, because it says V'layavar, which I once heard from Moshe Wolfson Shlita, who said V'layavar means you're not allowed to pass into the boundary of Esav. Even Purim, which as great as it is, but only till the 16th, you can't go into the 16th of the month. Something which Chanukah, is, in that respect, is greater than Purim, because Chanukah begins in the second half of the month. However, when there's a Purim Mishulish, as there is this year, we go into the second half of the month. Purim is Friday, which is the 14th, we read the Megillah, even in Yerushalayim. We'll all read the Megillah this year on the same day. Total Achdus. Oh, yeah. Everyone, because there's no Megillah reading on Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's the Shoyal and the Darshan, and it's Pasha Zocha for Bnei Yerushalayim, not for us. We have Zocha before. And then on Sunday, there's the Suda and the Mishleach Monoi, says the Yerushalmi says.
How does that come out?
We read the Megillah Thursday night, Friday. Our Purim is only Friday. Shushan Purim is Shabbos, and that's it. Otherwise, it's a regular plain Shabbos for us.
Shabbos Zocha
for us is the Shabbos before.
I know.
But in Eretz Yisrael, they do it 2 weeks in a row, according to many opinions. They do it at that Shabbos also.
I mean, they repeat it again?
They repeat it again.
The same
Chiyah and
Shabbos?
No.
Which is the Chiyah?
No, the Chiyah, the Shabbos before. Wait. Halachically. But there are two opinions when the Suda is. One opinion is that their Suda is on Shabbos. The Yerushalmi says you can't mix Shabbos with Purim. It says, Lasos Yemei Mishta V'Simcha. Misha. The Mishnah V'Simcha has to be something that we do. Shabbos is by itself. Shabbos comes by itself. We don't make the Shabbos. So therefore, the Yerushalmi says that the Suda of Purim in such a year is on Sunday. So that's why you have this triple Purim. The reading of the Gila on Friday, and the Matanis Lev Yoinim is also Friday, and then the Shalach Manas and the Suda is Sunday. So you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, because the real Purim for Bnei Eretz Yisrael is Shushan Purim, which is the 15th. This year it's Shabbos, so it's Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. The Chiddush, though, is that Sunday is the 16th. We go into the second half of the month. And here's where Purim rectifies Chet HaEgel. Chet HaEgel, which begins on the 16th of Tammuz, when the moon becomes concealed. This year, Purim enters into the boundary of Esav, although all years we say V'layavar, this year it goes in. It goes into the second half. What's interesting is that the source for the Yom Tov of Purim is actually a phrase in Parshas Bereishis, where Yaakov Avinu says to Binyamin, the last words of Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov says to Binyamin, V'lo erev yechalek sholol, that in the evening you will divide the spoils. Rashi says it refers to the spoils of Haman, that Mordechai and Esther took over Haman's house, the Shlal Haman, as we read in the Megillah, Rishlalam Lavoiz. So V'lo erev, when there's an erev, when there's an evening, when there's concealment, erev means concealment, evening, when it's not light out. Erev also means irvuvia. Irvuvia means confusion, as Rashi brings here by the Chet HaEgel, that there was irvuvia, there was confusion, mass confusion, as we see today. But V'lo erev is also the letters la'oiver, even for the oiver, for those who are oiver, like kol ha'oiver ala pekudim, for those who transgress, they shouldn't worry, there's a Yom Tov for them, there's Purim, that they still have a chance on Purim to reach the greatest heights. V'lo erev yechalek sholo. V'lo erev is the oisius ibur. La'ibur, when there's a chaydish ha'ibur, when we have an extra month, like this year, we have an extra month, so we not only have the triple Purim, which goes into the second half of the month, but we also have Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan. We actually have 5 days of Purim this year, in a way. You have Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan, which Baruchni is its Purim now, even though halachically we can't read the Megillah now. And then we have the 3 days coming up in the next month. And we know in the Megillah it says the word Purim 5 times. 5 times it says the word Purim, and there the Cheshek Shleimai brings down the Megillah. That's why you have 5 days you can read the Megillah. Yod Aleph, Yod Beis, Yod Gimel, Yod Dalet, Tezvav, as the Mishnah says at the beginning of Masechta Megillah. But for our purposes, we could be merames perhaps the five times Purim in the Megillah is hinting to us that in a leap year and in a year when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, when Purim is Friday, we got 5 days of Purim. Two in the first Chaydesh, in the Chaydesh Ha'ivor, which is the Chaydesh Adar Aleph, Adar Harisha, in the month we're in now, and three in the upcoming month of Adar Sheni, which the preparation for it, of course, starts tonight, the Shloshim Yoyim Kodesh. The La Erev Yechalek Shalah, when there's an Erev, when there's Irvuvia, when we live in Ikvus of the Mashiach like now, we have to know that Yechalek Shalah, there's a Yom Tov of Purim, where the special relationship that we have with Hashem is with Hashem only. There's no intermediaries. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer says that the Megillah is higher even than the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. The Ramban, in his introduction to Chumash, the Ramban says the entire Torah is Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is Hashem's name. The Megillah is higher than Hashem's name. It's Hashem himself. The Megillah is higher than the Torah. That's why you're allowed to stop learning and go here to Megillah. Even if a person's in the middle of the most complicated sugya and he's learning the most complicated sugya in Shas or the most complicated topic in learning, he has to stop Mevatlan Talmud Torah and play Mikra Megillah, because Mikra Megillah is higher than Talmud Torah. Even though it is Torah also, Mikra Megillah is Hashem himself. That's why it doesn't say Hashem's name in the Megillah, not just because Hashem is concealed. On the contrary, the Gemara says, Estaman HaTorah Menayin Shenemev Anoichi Haster Aster. Anoichi, it's Hashem himself. The Megillah is Hashem himself. That's why at the beginning of the Megillah we read that Achashverosh at the party orders Vashti to come and she doesn't, and he wants her to be killed, but he's not sure what to do. So the Pasuk says he calls his advisors, Yoidei Dos Vadin. First he calls the Yoidei Ha'itim. He calls, as the Gemara says, he calls the Bnei Yisachar. He calls the descendants of Yisachar who were experts in leap years. The Gemara mentions the fact that they were the ones who established the leap years. That's also a question. Why would he call them? What does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says that they were the experts in proclaiming leap years? What does that have to do with the party here? And perhaps one of the answers is Vashti was killed on Pesach. Achashverosh knew that if Vashti gets killed and it's Pesach, it's going to be good for the Jews. Because all the enemies of the Jews die on Pesach. Haman was killed on Pesach. Haroi, his army, Sancheirev. Vashti being killed on Pesach is not good for him. It's very good for the Jews. So he was hoping maybe if the Chachamim could proclaim a leap year, maybe we can push it off. Maybe it'll be Adar. So he calls the Bnei Yisachar, the Yoidei Ha'itim. That maybe it's possible perhaps that we can consider this Adar and not Nisan. And even though they don't acquiesce, they don't listen to him. And they said that we cannot give advice anymore ever since the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. But we benefit from the leap year later on. We see that the whole Nes of Purim happens in Adar, and according to Yerushalmi, the Purim year was a leap year. The Rabbi Yonison Eibeshitz brings it in his Perush on the Megillah, that the Purim miracle occurred in a leap year, and Haman wanted to wipe out the Jews in Adar Sheni, and his intention was that it should be in a month where the Jews have no mazel, because the month of Adar Sheni is not keneged a mazel. It's the 13th month, there's no mazel in Adar. He thought it would be good that the Jews should be wiped out in such a month, but not realizing that we are above mazel. Ein mazel Yisrael, and the fact that it should be an Adar Sheni is to our benefit. It's not detrimental to Klal Yisrael, but on the contrary, it's beneficial for Klal Yisrael that the Nes is an Adar Sheni. But not going into that, Haman is Memuchan, he advises Achashverosh, why do you have to ask advisors what to do? You're the king. This is between you and your wife. You kill her. You give the order. Why do you have to ask them? And the Mefarshim explained, the Gra talks about this and others, that it was the custom in Persia that even the king never would do anything unless his advisors would okay it. Sort of like the Congress giving the president the permission to enact a law or whatever. The king had to come on to his advisors. Here it ended. Haman tells the king, from now on, you should have the power to do whatever you want. And therefore, you don't have to ask them whether you should kill Vashti. If you feel that Vashti deserves to be killed, you should do it. V'yikosev lefanav, the Pasuk says, it should be something which you do, and you don't have to ask your advisors. There should be no intermediaries here. You should do it straight on your own. And that's what happens. And this turns out to be part of the Nes later on, when Ahasuerus is sitting at the party with Esther, and Esther says, this is the man that wants to kill me and wipe out my entire people. Ahasuerus is enraged, and he orders his advisor, he orders his soldiers to go kill Haman. But if it would have been the law that he go first and discuss this with his advisors, as was originally the law in Persia, his advisors wouldn't have told him to go kill Haman so fast. They liked Haman. They didn't like the Jews. They liked Haman very much. They all wanted to kill the Jews. The fact that Haman dug his own pit, Haman ended up by advising Ahasuerus that in the story of Vashti, that you should do it, not come on to your advisors later on. That's what brings that Haman should be killed quickly, and that Ahasuerus doesn't ask anyone's permission, does it straight. And perhaps, as we know, the Ahasuerus in the Megillah is Hashem, Melech Shah Achrus V'Horeshus Shaloi. What's happening here is until now Hashem would do things through Malachim. As Hashem says here in the parasha, he's going to send the Malach. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, Pana Yelechu V'Ani Chosiloch. And Hashem says, Pana Yelechu V'Ani Chosiloch. My face shall go, and I shall provide you rest. There is going to be no intermediaries here, no Malachim, straight. From Hashem to Klal Yisrael. Here was straight from Ahasuerus to Esther, or from Ahasuerus to Vashti. No more intermediate. In fact, it's interesting that later when Esther goes to the king, it says that Vayoymer HaMelech Ahasuerus, Vayoymer LeEsther HaMalka, it says two times Vayoymer. So Chazal say, why does it say it twice? Because till now Ahasuerus spoke to Esther with an interpreter, because he didn't know who she was. Now that he found out that she's from the royal family, he pushed the interpreter aside. He said, I speak to her straight, no intermediaries, no interpreters. Meaning, the Derech Remez, Esther is Klal Yisrael, Ahasuerus is Hashem. Hashem is speaking straight to us. No more intermediaries, no malachim, straight from Hashem himself. The Megillah is Hashem himself. And this special love that Hashem shows us on Purim, we don't see any other time. This special chayin, it says chayin six times in the Megillah. Esther finds chayin in the eyes of Ahasuerus. And in this week's parasha, it says six times chayin, when we're talking about Moshe and Klal Yisrael finding chayin in the eyes of Hashem after Chet HaEgel. The whole Yom Tov of Purim is the Yom Tov of Metzias Chayin, finding favor in the eyes of Hashem. Therefore, despite that in this parasha there's such a yerida, such a tremendous downfall, but at the end of the day, Klal Yisrael is zoche to a tremendous aliyah after this. Moshe Rabbeinu is zoche to an aliyah v'lo yoda ki kora an or panav. All this comes about after Chet HaEgel, and that's the tremendous nechama, that's the tremendous uplifting lesson from this week's parasha, that no matter how one conducted himself, no matter what happened till now, a person can always uplift himself, and a person can always reach the greatest levels. All we have to do is want, and we have to realize that we're in a time now where in the world there are a lot of upheavals taking place in different countries. Different leaders are being removed or are resigning, and new ones are coming in place, and people are nervous and worried. We have to realize Vashti was replaced with Esther. Haman was replaced with Mordechai. The pasuk says, "Tachas hana'atzutz ya'ale b'roish, v'sachas asirpod ya'ale hadas." Haman was in power, he was removed. He was replaced by Mordechai, who's the Mishnah of Melech Ahasuerus. Mishnah Lamelech Ahasuerus is Begematria Haster Astir. The Hester Panim of Purim led to that Mordechai becomes the Mishnah Lamelech Ahasuerus. Vashti was the queen, Esther is now the queen, Esther Hamalka. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki Matzasa Chain Be'enoi, Ki Matzasa Chain Be'enoi is Begematria Esther Hamalka. Ki Matzasa Chain is Begematria 619, that's the mitzvah of Purim. Purim is mitzvah number 619 from all the mitzvahs that we have. As we know, there are 613 Do'eraisa and 7 Do'rabbanon. So there are 620. 620th mitzvah is Chanukah, 619th mitzvah is Chanukah, is Purim. As we mentioned, it's equal to the words Haman ben Hamadasa ha'agogi. Haman wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, particularly the Acharis, which is equal to 619. The lower level Jews, the Jews that have fallen and hit rock bottom, the Ovdei Ha'egel. Purim is for the Acharis Jews. Purim is, even the Acharis Jew is Noisei Chayin, Ki Matzasa Chayin, is Begematria Acharis. Even the Acharis Jews, even Jews who have sinned, even Jews who have fallen so low, find favor in the eyes of Hashem, find charm and grace in the eyes of Hashem. And that's what Purim brings, especially this great Purim that we're in now, this that begins tonight, that leads us to the Purim Gadol, which leads us to the Erev Pesach Shecholiyos B'Shabbos. We should be zeichet to utilize this tremendous Ace Ratzon, the Erev Yechalek Shalal is Begamatria Ace Ratzon. This tremendous Ace Ratzon should lead us to the great Itais Ratzon, and we should be zeichet, of course, to the Yehuda Maisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasayin V'Yikar Kain Tihi Elanu the Meherav Yemenu Mamish immediately.
Amen.